as you're being seated, if you'll take your Bible and open to 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you're new to Harvest, you will learn very quickly if you continue to come. At some point in everything we do, you're going to hear someone say, "Open your Bible." And if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, we've got some available. If you'll just lift your hands, these gentlemen will get those to you. If you were here with us last week, we began talking about this concept of marginalizing God, something that is very acceptable in most churches, but for us, we're going to learn it's one of the most dangerous things that we can do, to have God in the margins rather than in the middle of our life. Last week, we talked about a lady named Hannah, who refused to allow God to be marginalized, and she invited God in her desperation to come right into the middle of her disappointment. She desperately called out to God to change her infertile condition and give her a son, and God granted her that son. She desperately called out to God in the middle of her desperation. Well, this week, we're just going to continue the story. The saga continues, and we're going to find out what happened to her son that God gave her. Hannah desperately called out to God, but her son was called out by God. And what I'm going to do here this morning is try to do the same thing. I'm going to call you out this morning. How many of you this morning have your cell phone with you? Raise your hand, you guilty people that brought your cell phone into the sanctuary of God. No, I have mine here as well, but I'm sure that you've all done us a favor by putting it on vibrate or silence or just turn it off. How many of you have your cell phone like available right now? Just pull it out. I want to see some cell phones here this morning. You have your cell phone? Sean has his cell phone. Sean, I'm going to borrow your cell phone. Now, Sean is a high-powered person. He has a BlueBerry. And if I were to punch around on this, I could find out what's important to Sean. He's looking at me in terror, actually, at this moment, wondering what I'm going to do with his cell phone. But how many of you have learned that your cell phone has these amazing features on here that how could we live without these things? For instance, speed dial. Do you use your speed dial? Most of us don't even know the phone number of anyone anymore. If you ask me what is Andrea's phone number, I would tell you it's 3. That's all it is. You just press and hold. It's 3. I don't know a real cell phone. It's just 3. If I don't have my cell phone, I can't call her. How many of you have your favorite people programmed into the speed dial of your cell phone right now? If I ask you to press and hold number 3 right now, it would be an amazing phenomenon because some of your favorite people are actually in the room. And we'd hear all the different cell phone signals and ringers going off. That's an amazing feature. Another amazing feature that really annoys me is people that use the caller ID feature to decide before they answer the phone whether or not they want to talk to you, right? Don't you get annoyed by that one person that every time you call, they never answer the phone, right? Because they know either they check the caller ID or they found this other amazing feature on the phone, voicemail, right? I don't really need to talk to you because you can leave a message, and then if I decide what you want to say to me is important enough for me to call you back and respond, then I'll call back and respond. Those people are really annoying, right? Well, a lot of people kind of treat God the way that we treat people that call on our cell phones. Do you know why? Because God calls all the time to you and I. His voice speaks, and we're going to look at a specific instance where he spoke to this young man named Samuel. But a lot of us treat God the same way that we treat people that call us on the cell phone. Do you ever use your caller ID to check to whether or not you want to answer the call of God? It's like, God's calling today. I don't think I have time for God. Or I'm afraid that he might ask me to do something that I'm really not interested in doing. He can leave a message. Maybe I'll get back to him another time. You know, all of those features in the cell phone are absolutely useless unless you have a signal. If you're not close enough to the tower, then all of those features really are worthless. And unfortunately, some of us came in this morning really far away from the power of God. God's been sending out the signal. God's been sending out the call, but for many of us, we've just simply not been close enough to hear what he has to say to us. And the reason is because we've got God in the margins rather than in the middle of our life. And so let's look here and see what God says to a young man that he calls out to. And again, to set up the story, you remember at the days that this was written, this was a very dark, bleak time in the history of the people of God. We read that verse last week in Judges chapter 21. It says there was no king in Israel, and so everyone did that which was right. I wish it had stopped there, but it didn't. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no governing standard. There was no authoritative voice that was determining what was right and wrong in Israel. God broke into the scene, and he refused to be marginalized, and so he began to communicate a very important message to his people. And what we're going to learn today is this. God calls his people into intimacy, into close relationship with him. And he uses them for strategic roles to change the culture around them. God's calling you and I today in the same way that we're going to find out that he called Samuel. And so let's look at this. We're going to learn five things about the call of God here this morning. It's almost as if God's kind of like this guy. What's this guy famous for saying? Can you hear me now? Well, I wonder sometimes if God doesn't say the same thing to you. And I wonder if you would be in God's speed dial, because he knows that every time he calls, you answer. You pick up the phone. You want to find out what the message is. You're going to obey what he says. Well, we're going to learn not to marginalize God. The first thing we're going to learn this morning is this. God's call is a gracious call. God is so good to call us. We don't deserve anything from God, and yet he calls us anyway. Let's begin reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Follow along. I use the English Standard Version of the Bible, and it says this. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. This was the child that was given to Hannah back in chapter 1, and he had grown up. You remember, she brought him to the temple and dedicated this child to the Lord. And it says that by this time in the story, we're in chapter 3 now, the child had aged a little. He was a young man, probably about 12 years old. So get in your mind a picture of a 12-year-old boy. So if you have not seen a 12-year-old boy in a while, so Zachary, stand up. Turn around. Can you imagine this being the center of the story? He's a little shaggy, a little rough around the edges, needs a haircut, but he's a 12-year-old boy. You can be seated. So here we have a young man, Samuel, and he was ministering to the Lord under Eli. Eli was the priest, an older man, and really at the end of his ministry, we're going to find out. And it says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Mark that. Verse 2. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And have you parents ever had that phenomena happen? You're enjoying a nice sleep, and your children rush in urgently to tell you, there's something under my bed, or I can't sleep, or I'm throwing up. Just wreck your whole night. Well, this happened, and it happened again. Look at verse 6. It says, and the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. And here we see the story of God calling Samuel. Notice it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. You see, about 300 years had passed since God had spoken authoritatively into that culture. You realize back in these days, they didn't have the books of the Bible that we had today. They were very dependent upon hearing the voice of the Lord spoken through the prophets in that age. But the culture had become so corrupt, and the people had marginalized God so much that it was so rare that they would hear an authoritative voice of God. You see, they were so dependent upon God disclosing Himself. Please realize this about God. You do not discover God. God reveals Himself to us. We are dependent upon His gracious call to us. God discloses His nature, discloses His will to us. And He was doing that at this time, but rarely was He doing it in this particular culture. And you know, as you read those words where it says the word of the Lord was rare, if you have the heart of a true follower of Christ, those words and that commentary on society ought to break your heart. The word of the Lord was rare? But we're so dependent upon the word of the Lord. I've got to hear a word from God. I trust that's your attitude when you come to church, when you get up in the morning, when you seek Him in prayer. I have got to hear the voice of the Lord. But it wasn't happening much during those days. Remember what Jesus said? Do you remember when He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word of God. Our very sustenance, our very life is sustained by God speaking to us and revealing Himself in His nature to us. But the word of the Lord was rare. You see, when we push Him into the margins of our life, our only hope is that He would speak into the middle and draw us back to Him. And we desperately need to have that happen in our culture, in our setting, in our marriage, in our business, in our family today. If you've heard the voice of the Lord at some time in your past, if God has spoken to you, you should be so grateful for that. God doesn't owe us that. God's call is a gracious call. And God was calling to Samuel. It was a gracious time when God had been marginalized. He chose Samuel to reveal His will to. And He called repeatedly. You know, if I was God, by the way, that's not an announcement, but if I was God and I called once, I would think, man, if you didn't get it that time, if I went to the trouble of revealing Myself to you and you thought Eli was speaking, man, you just don't get it. I think I'll go find somebody else to call. But God is so gracious. God is so faithful. He calls a second time, and we're going to learn in a minute. He calls a third time, and He calls to you and I. It raises a few questions, doesn't it? Does God still speak today? Should you and I expect to hear the voice of God the way that Samuel heard the voice of God in this story? It's a good question. We learn throughout biblical history, throughout God's self-disclosure, that it's not common for people to hear the audible voice of God the way that Samuel heard here in this story. So should you and I really expect to hear that? Probably not. Let me read to you the words of Wayne Grudem, who's a theologian, and he addressed this subject this way. This is what he says. He says, we do not hear God's words of decree. In other words, God has made some decrees. He's established some laws, some patterns, some principles that are universal throughout history. We read about those in the Scripture. We don't hear His voice of decree and thus cannot study them directly, but only through observation of their effects. God's words of personal address are uncommon, even in Scripture. Some of the godliest men in the Bible never heard the voice of God. Furthermore, even if we did hear some of His words of personal address to our situation today, we would not have certainty that we correctly understood them or that our memory was correct of them and our subsequent report of them was wholly accurate, because it would be flawed by our situation. And so it's probably not best to expect to hear an audible voice of God. So the question is, well, Trent, you keep talking about God speaking to me, and you challenged me to pray that God would speak to me. What are you talking about? Listen, did you know that the Scripture actually says that we have a more accurate word of God than even Samuel had on the day that God spoke to him in the middle of the night? Listen to what the Scripture says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament. We ourselves, now, who is the we he's speaking to? This is Peter, who heard the voice of Jesus, walked with Jesus, and heard the voice of God speak to Jesus. when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," Peter audibly heard that. Listen to what Peter's commentary was on that. He says, "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain," when they heard that statement. But listen to what he says. "We have something more sure." And he goes on to describe in the rest of that chapter that they have the word of prophecy revealed through the Scripture. Peter declares to us that this is a more accurate word of God than any audible voice you will ever hear. It's something more sure. So you don't have to think that somehow I'm living in an age where I didn't have what Samuel had. No, you have something better than Samuel had. The revealed will of God on paper. We're going to spend a whole season here in the fall, in the late fall, talking about the very nature of God's word, the Scripture. And so if you can kind of table that for a little bit, we'll continue the story. But God speaks to us through his word, the Scripture. God also speaks to us through the living word of God. Who is that? Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Word became flesh." God's voice, God's heart, God's will became flesh. God revealed himself through the living entity of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God with a human body wrapped around him. And when we observe him and hear him and see what he says, we hear the voice of God. And it's a gracious call. The question for you and I is this morning. Can you hear it? Do you really believe that God calls to us today to reveal himself through the Scripture, through Jesus, and thirdly, through the Spirit of God who speaks to us in our hearts? Can you hear it? Are you listening? Beyond the voice of Trent Griffith that you're hearing this morning, are you hearing the voice of God? We believe every time we gather together that God speaks. Have you heard the voice of God this week? Are you hearing it in the service? Well, here's the second point. God's call is a personal call. Look at verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Now, does that seem strange to you? We read earlier that Samuel was ministering before the Lord. We learned last week that Samuel had a godly mother. We read over in chapter 2, verse 18. Why don't you look at it? Just let your eyes scan back to chapter 2. Look at verse 18. It says, "Samuel was ministering before the Lord, and the boy clothed with a linen ephod." You may not know what an ephod is. It was just the articles of clothing suitable for worship. And so Samuel had the external appearances of knowing God, but this verse tells us that he did not yet know the Lord. Samuel had already been in ministry, and yet he'd never been exposed to the personal relationship that is required for one who is in ministry. I wonder if you're here today. You grew up in a godly home. You've been in church all your life. You know the things of God. You've been surrounded by the articles of God, and you know the law of God, and you know people of God and like to hang out in the environment of God. But the question for you and I is this: do you know him personally? Do you know him personally? Before God will ever call you to do anything for him, he will call you to come to him in personal relationship. By the way, ladies, we're getting ready to kick off the ministry year on September the 13th, I believe it is. My wife, Andrea, is going to be sharing on a Saturday morning. There's more information about that in the bulletin. But every lady at Harvest needs to be there for that. And Andrea's going to tell you part of her story about being surrounded by the things of God and, just like Samuel, not yet knowing the Lord. And we need to hear that message. Now listen, there are five callings, actually six callings in the Scripture that I found. We could probably categorize them in a lot of different ways. Over in the New Testament, we find that there's different callings of God, things that you and I are called by God to be and to do. So let's talk about those for just a minute. First of all, You are called to be saved. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "Who saved us," speaking of Jesus, "he who saved us and," what? What's the word? "He called us." He saved us and say it together. Called. You're not getting the picture here. I want you to speak when I get to the word called. Let's try that again. "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling." What is that holy calling? "Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." If you have never, by faith, received Christ and repented of sin, then please hear me. The only calling you need to be concerned about this morning is this. You are called to be saved. Your sin will condemn you to an eternity without God. You talk about God in the margins. Hell is that place. You need to be saved from that torment because he is gracious. He loves you. He's coming to where you're at. If you're hearing his voice this morning and you've never been saved, you need to be saved. But not only are we called to be saved, we're called to be sure that we're saved. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your..." I'll give you another run at that. I realize some of you were writing down the note right there. We're going to try it together, group participation in church this morning. "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." What qualities? He lists seven of them immediately falling. He says you're to add to your faith virtue and knowledge. And he gives this big list of things that if these things are found in our life, we're going to be sure we're saved because only God can produce those things. Here's the third calling of God. You're called to be set free from sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." Now the context that he's talking about here is he's talking about a church full of people that were really legalistic. They wanted to go back and make sure everybody had been circumcised and everybody kind of had the stamp of this particular mold, and you had to come and worship this way and you had to do all these things, you had to eat the right food. And Paul says, look, your salvation involves a call to freedom. But then he gives this warning, don't use your freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for your flesh, but through love serve one another. And so we're called to be set free from sin. Here's another one. We're called to sexual purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." Do you realize that we have a call as the people of God to live distinctly different lives? And we cannot follow the pattern of the world, especially as it relates to a sex-saturated society. You're called by God to be holy. And understand that with the call, God gives you the grace to do what you cannot do on your own. Here's the fifth calling of God. We're called to sweet fellowship as a body of believers. If you've been redeemed by the Spirit of God, and I've been redeemed by the Spirit of God, the same Jesus that lives in you lives in me. They ought to be able to get along. And he says this in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The only thing that's going to slow down Harvest Bible Chapel is nothing on the outside, but everything on the inside. If we're not exercising humility and gentleness and patience and love, and we're not walking worthy of the calling, then we'll destroy this thing from the inside out. Here's another call from God, called to suffer. You say, couldn't we just leave off at number 5? What do you mean God calls me to suffer? Listen, probably one of the most often repeated errors I hear in the church is this statement. Well, I know God wouldn't want me to suffer. Really? Well, how do you explain this verse? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is the gracious thing. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been. What is the this? Suffering. Why would God want me to suffer? The verse goes on to explain, in suffering, you identify with Jesus. And a watching world watches you deal with hardship in a different way than they do. And they say, I don't get it. You've lost your job and you're not worried? I mean, you're concerned, but that's not throwing your brain into a panic. You have a health issue, and how are you able to do that? You have conflict in your marriage, but you handle it differently, and a watching world sees that. You've been called to suffer. What if the people of God never endured hard times? What would a watching world think? They don't ever have to deal with anything I have to deal with. And so we've been called to suffer. And so not only are we called to be saved, but beyond that, we're called to grow in our calling. Let me ask you this. Does God's calling have an expiration date? Does God ever stop calling me? The things He's called me to? Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 14. This was Paul's heart, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And then he says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing on toward the goal of the upward call this morning? Or does God get an hour and a half of your week and you live the rest of your life without Him? Don't marginalize God. He wants to be at the center. Press on with God at the center. Here's the third point this morning. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 again. Third point is this. God's call requires a listening ear. God's call requires a listening ear. Let's read it together beginning in verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you have called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, great phrase here, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood calling. I love that phrase. God came, stood, and called. I love that. That God comes to me and stands there in a personal way, knowing my situation, directly where I'm at, and He calls me. Why would He bother? What can I do for God? He wants me involved. He wants me in the game. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel which the two ears of everyone who hears will tingle. Do your ears tingle at the voice of God? That word tingle means vibrate or tremble or chatter, kind of like chattering teeth. Do you tremble at the voice of God? Are you so humble in the presence of God that He would want to have anything to do with you? This holy God comes to unholy you and says, I want you to partner with me. That ought to make your ears tingle. Interestingly, over in the New Testament, a commentary on the modern church during that day, 2 Timothy says there were some in the church that wanting to have their ears tickled, gathered to themselves certain teachers that could tickle their ears. Listen, you ought to be in a church where your ears tingle and not get tickled. Do your ears tingle or do your ears get tickled? What kind of ears do you have? What kind of call has God put on your life? Listen, it says here that Eli perceived that God was calling him. I wonder if so many times God has been calling. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Have you ever perceived, maybe even right now in this moment, God's calling you to something? Maybe one of those six things really hit home to you? That wasn't Trent. That was God calling you. Your ears tingle at that? What does the Bible say about the voice of the Lord? Interestingly, it says a couple of different things, almost kind of on opposite ends of two extremes. Job 37:4 says, the voice of the Lord thunders. It's like a crack of thunder. But interestingly, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, the voice of the Lord is described as a still, small voice. Psalm 95, verse 8 says this, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. You see, the problem is not our ears. The problem is a hard heart. Have you answered the call of God? Some of you may genuinely say, Trent, I'm listening. I'm trying to get a message from God here, but God just doesn't speak to me. He just kind of seems way out there. It's like I'm not picking up the signal on the cell phone. Well, maybe you're too far from the tower. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23 says. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. It could be there's something blocking the reception. The problem is not with the transmitter. The problem is with the receiver. And it could be that we've not turned at His reproof. Why would God go to the trouble of speaking to you today about an issue in your life if you haven't obeyed the last thing He told you? If you'll go back and do the last thing He told you, high likelihood He will give you more assignments because you've proven yourself faithful that you answer the call and you do what you're supposed to do here. Hey, let me give you a little project here, a little harvest project, okay, for all of us as a body of Christ, okay? Scripture says that Samuel heard the voice of God three times, and he finally said, speak, Lord, I'm listening. At what time of the day did he call? It was in the middle of the night, wasn't it? Interestingly here, a little phrase back in, I think it was verse 2 there. It says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And so there in the temple or the sanctuary, the place of worship, Samuel was sleeping, but apparently there was a lamp, this piece of furniture, an oil lamp, and it would die out through the night, but the lamp of God was still burning. Did you know that in Psalm 119, verse 105, the scripture says this, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. No matter how dark your situation, the lamp of God has not yet gone out. There's still an opportunity for you to answer the call. So listen, this week, guess what I'm going to be praying for those of us at Harvest? I'm going to be praying that God would wake us up in the middle of the night and speak very directly about our situation, our circumstance. Will you covenant with me that if at 3 o'clock in the morning you find yourself strangely awake in the middle of the night, that you will get out of bed and pray this prayer? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't control that. If God says nothing, if you sleep perfectly through the week, great for you. But listen through the day. God may wake you up. And I want us to give special attention to the voice of God this week. He's calling us. He's a personal God. He's got a personal call. He's got a gracious call. And His call requires a listening ear. You see, the problem for most of us is there are very few silent moments in our day where we can even hear the voice of God. Oh, he's speaking, but he has to blare over the TV and the radio and the iPod and the news and whatever's going on, the commotion of our life. But at 3 in the morning, typically all those things are not an issue. If that happens, let God be the middle of what he wants to say to you this week. Give him your ear. You say, Trent, what if he doesn't speak? Then let me ask you this. Seek him. Beg him to speak to you. Pray that prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If he doesn't call you, why don't you covenant with me to do this? Why don't you give the first hour of your day to listening intently to the voice of God? God, what do you want to say to me? God, here's my life. God, here's my marriage. Here's my situation. God, speak into that situation. And remember, where are we going to find the counsel of God's word? We're going to find it right here in the scripture, the word of God. By the way, it says that God was about to do something in Israel. God was about to inaugurate a new era. God was about to do a new thing in Israel. We're going to read what that new thing was here in just a minute. But you know what? I still think God loves to do new things. I love being a part of a new church. I think it's a new thing that God's doing in Granger through Harvest. I hope you sense that. Whatever season of life you're in, maybe you've been in a season of darkness, maybe you've been in a season of disappointment or disobedience. I think God wants to do a new thing in your life, a new season. What does God want to do? What's God calling you to do? Are you tired of being the way you were? Ask God to do a new thing. Here's point number four. God's call requires courageous obedience. God's call requires courageous obedience. Look at verse 12. Here's the new thing that God was about to do. On that day, I will tremble. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God. And he did not restrain them. Now, you'd have to go back to chapter 2 and kind of read through that. I debated whether or not to preach that. I am going to preach that, but we're going to hold it off for about 2 months. I'm going to come back to chapter 2 here, and we're going to talk about how Eli's sons were blaspheming God, and Eli did nothing to restrain them. For that, Eli got God's judgment. Verse 14, therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Now can you imagine, Eli receives this message from God, 12-year-old boy, and he knows the next morning he's going to see Eli. And God says, you're the paper boy to deliver the message. Not a real fun message to hear. Not a real fun message to deliver. And that 12-year-old boy probably sat in his bed wide awake wondering, what is his reaction going to be? Will he deny God's voice? Will he explain it away? Will he try to make a case for why he doesn't need to be removed from the temple? Will he say, well, God's used me in the past. Surely he's going to use me in the future? Would he get angry at the little boy? Would he remove Samuel? Samuel was probably terrified. As a matter of fact, it's exactly what it says. It says here, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. So many times, God's call requires personal obedience and courageous obedience if we're going to fulfill God's calling in our life. He desired to hear everything that God said. Look at verse 16. But Eli called Samuel. I find that humorous, don't you? Eli called Samuel. Samuel kept going to Eli when God was calling him, but Eli wasn't calling him. Well, now Eli's calling him, and Samuel's like, I don't want to go. And so he says, all right, now what am I going to do? In verse 16, but Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here am I. Verse 17. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he said to you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Here was Eli's reaction. Let him do what seems good to him. Now, that was a good reaction. Yay for Eli. But it was too late. If that had been Eli's attitude from the beginning, when God rebuked him for not controlling his children, if he had said, yes, Lord, I'll do what seems good to you, then he wouldn't have been experiencing the judgment of God at this point. And so it's a right reaction, but it's too late. And Samuel delivers the message courageously. By the way, did you know that that has to do with two of the founding pillars of Harvest Bible Chapel? Pillar number one of Harvest Bible Chapel is this: boldly proclaiming the authority of God's word without apology. Samuel did that. Pillar number four is this: sharing the good news of Jesus boldly with those in need of that message. Listen, even though that was a hard message for Eli to hear, it was a good message for the culture and the nation of God's people at that point. They needed God to speak into the culture. They needed an established voice of truth speaking into the culture. And you and I know that we live in a culture that desperately needs truth once again to be established. There's a couple of messages here we need to understand. First of all, we don't need to assume our importance in God's kingdom, right? Don't overestimate how important you are to God or myself either. A resounding story throughout the scripture from Adam all the way to the book of Revelation is this: God doesn't need me. He calls people out for a specific season, but when he's finished with them, next, and we move right on to the next prophet or the next king or the next disciple or the next apostle. It's all through the scripture. And so don't assume that because God has used you in the past like Eli, that he's going to continue to use you in the future. I'm so grateful for the people in our church that say, you know what, I'm grateful to serve, I'm grateful to answer the call of God, but if God raises up somebody else and wants to install them in some position, then, man, praise God. God may want to reassign me somewhere else. And so realize God's call requires courageous obedience. Here's the fifth point. God's call qualifies us for maximum usefulness. Here's the end of the story. Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. It's a great word picture there, like you've got a handful of sand. God didn't let any of the words that he put in Samuel's mouth fall to the ground to be rendered useless. Like a quarterback that's firing darts at receivers on the football field. Everything that he fired was completed. Ball never fell to the ground. God didn't let that happen because he was obedient. He had a message and he delivered it. It goes on in verse 20. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, I know that means nothing to you, but Dan was in the north, Beersheba was in the south, and so it's as if he was saying, from the north to the south, comprehensive coverage. Everyone knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. He was the truth teller. He was the injector of truth in a society that had marginalized God. God used Samuel to bring God back to the middle in that society. And the last verse, verse 21, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Do you want to be used by God? Do you believe that someone as insignificant, as limited in your gifting or experience or knowledge of the Bible, that God could use you? He can if he calls you. And he's called every one of us to certain areas of service and ministry. Are you answering the call? What is it that God has called you to do? Listen, understanding the call of God involves two things. God calls us to something, but he also calls us from something. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do is probably going to require you to give up something else. If God's calling you to serve in a particular avenue of ministry, it's probably going to cost you some personal time. If God's going to wake you up in the middle of the night to give you his message, it's going to cost you some sleep. Every time God calls us to something, He's calling us to Himself. He's calling us away from ourself and our rights and our self-determination. If God's going to be in the middle, I'm going to be in the margin. But if I'm in the middle, then I'm going to push God to the margin. Will you answer the call of God? For some of us, God really is calling us to salvation. You're religious. You're surrounded by religious things. But you've never repented of sin. And you, like Samuel, don't know God personally. Have you heard His voice today? Will you respond? Speak, Lord. I'm listening. Whatever you say, I will obey. For others of us, that issue's settled. God may be calling you to be set free from some particular area of sin, or to suffer, or to sweet fellowship. What's God calling you to? You hear His voice? Sometimes it cracks like thunder. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. For some of us today, we need to go home, find a quiet place, get our Bible open, and pray that prayer. Lord, speak. I'm listening. I want to be used. I want to move away from myself. And I want you back at the middle. Let me ask you to bow your heads for a moment. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, can I ask you, has God spoken? Earlier in the service, I asked you to pray that prayer. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. Whatever you say, I will obey. Did He speak? Remember Psalm 95. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." What's God requiring of you today? I have no idea. I know that God's been speaking to me this week. I know God's been calling me to new areas of surrender and humility. What's He calling you to? It could be very costly. It could be something that is going to require some time, some effort, some humility. What do you need to do in order to obey the voice of the Lord? It could be that even before you leave today, God's prompted your heart. He wants you to give something. He wants you to speak a word of encouragement. It may be that you need to come up here and get on your face and repent of some area of sin and say, "God, I need your power to overcome that." There are some husbands that need to go home and express love and honor, tenderness and gentleness to their wives. There are some wives that need to graciously honor their husbands. There may be some teenagers in here, and you need to make sure that what is filling your mind are things that are proved by God. I don't know what it is. If God has spoken, don't harden your heart. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Earlier in the service, we sang, "How great is our God." Listen, it is one thing to sing those lyrics. If God is so great, then why are you not listening? If He's great, He's going to have our attention. And we're going to follow through. As a sheep, will you follow the voice of the shepherd? So whatever you need to do at this moment in prayer, if you need to come and kneel here, there'll be some prayer partners down front here. And if you need somebody to pray with, I'll be down here. Let's don't ignore the voice of God. And let's certainly don't close the service thinking that now we can get away from His voice. Let's ask Him to speak. And let's let Him know we're listening. Let's sing together.